I think we had a really good kind of introduction to local level, to hearing about policy and clinical and community-based approaches. And now I'm going to be talking a little bit about local county approaches, especially partnerships. So I just wanted to get a show of hands here. How many of you work with local health departments or the county? Okay. And then how many of you work with Parks and Recreation? So I don't see a whole lot of numbers working with Parks and Recreation, so I'll be talking a little bit about that. And I also just wanted to kind of get you guys to exercise a little bit. Feel free to stand up and maybe stand against the wall or against the back if you are feeling a little bit tired. So I had nothing to disclose at this moment. Today I'll be talking about the steps for the physical activity campaign and also the benefits and challenges of this collaboration. So just to give you a little bit of background about San Mateo County, it is a county that's sandwiched between San Francisco County and Santa Clara County, which is also known as Silicon Valley to some of you. So if you think of triplets, we're sort of the least popular of the triplets. But it doesn't mean that we don't have health problems. We, as you can see here, we had 2 in 10 adults who are obese. Half of them are overweight. Diabetes has more than doubled in the last 10 years. And over 50% of our adults do not exercise regularly. And even worse, 2/3 of our 7th graders are not passing their fitness test. So that brings me to, Well, looks like I'm missing a slide here. So I wanted to give you a little bit of background about physical activity at parks. So we have nowadays more non-public health and public health entities that are collaborating to offer community members opportunities to become more physically active. There is a growing attention and collaboration between parks and health sectors. There was a telephone survey that was done by APHA which showed that 75% of respondents agreed that Parks and Recreation should be involved in addressing obesity. Literature also shows that physical activity in park and natural settings have demonstrated lower risk of chronic diseases, blood pressure, cholesterol, stress, and anxiety, and it has enhanced one's chance of survival after a heart attack and enhanced behavior for children with ADHD and behavioral disorders. If every inactive adult were to become physically active, the potential medical cost savings could be $76.6 billion, which is tremendous. And one of the biggest benefits about using public spaces, such as parks, is that it is free or low cost. And not only that, children and adolescents actually prefer to be physically active outdoors than indoors, such as recreational facilities. And the general population is also more likely to use parks when organized activities are available. So this brings me to ActiveAssist. I staff the ActiveAssist Collaborative, which started in 2009, and it was started to address the health problems that I mentioned earlier, and also to improve collaboration between public health and non-public health agencies in San Mateo County. So we have the group of healthcare agencies, Parks and Recreations, and the local health department to help achieve this mission, which is to promote healthy physical activity in community places throughout San Mateo County. And we have 3 pillars, which are to improve physical and mental health, to activate the use of public spaces, and also to enhance social connectedness. And I really wanted to explain why we have such a big focus on physical activity. So we have a lot of focus, especially in San Mateo County, on nutrition. We have maybe about 50 staff that are working in nutrition in our department, and yet we only have 1 staff that works on physical activity. And so I've heard one person mention at one point that, you know, we're sort of like twins. Earlier I mentioned triplets, and now we have twins. We have physical activity and you have nutrition, and one twin seems to get all the money and the attention, and then the other twin sort of gets left behind. But what you don't realize, or a lot of people realize, is that you really need both twins to make, you know, things happen when it comes to obesity and reducing chronic diseases. And so for that reason, there was a group of people who felt the need to emphasize physical activity, and that's why we have ActiveAssist. So one of the programs that ActiveAssist is working on this year is Passport to Parks. We decided to launch this campaign in April of 2015, which is basically to send residents on a scavenger hunt to discover some of their city's parks. Some of you may know it as geocaching. It's very similar, but it's a little bit easier and less complicated. Password to Parks really increases parks' visibility and use while it engages residents in active transportation, such as walking, biking, wheeling. Currently, we have 7 cities that are participating in this. So the way it works, that was the slide I was going to use earlier. So the way it works is that participants will find a series of clues about the next destination that they're supposed to look for, and they keep going to each park until they reach the final destination. It includes routes and parks that are amenable to families, older adults, and people with disabilities. We made sure that the routes were no more than 1 mile long and were wheelchair accessible. And if they weren't, we noted the exceptions on our website. Here's a sample of a clue that was posted in San Mateo. Active Access, we had initially created this project plan and protocol that was easy for anyone to replicate. Scope of work clearly outlined the roles and responsibilities of the county staff and also with Parks and Recreations, which really actually helped to set clear expectations of their commitment and resources. A few interns and I had designed this campaign and the protocol, and we created the clues and instructions. We translated them into Spanish, which is really important because we are a very bilingual county. And we tested out the instructions to assess the accuracy of the directions and the accessibility of the routes for children and people with disabilities. We also, we did a lot of work around finding sponsorships and creating evaluations and printing the signs. And even though there was really limited funding, their Parks and Recreation partners were really willing to contribute their own staff and resources, which were pretty minimal, to affixing the signs and promoting the campaign. So upon completion of this campaign, Active Access will create a toolkit that includes this protocol, sample signs, and share this toolkit with other cities and counties that are interested in replicating this project. So Active Access really emphasizes partnerships in all of our work. We feel that it is key to our success. So fortunately, we had a few members who are from local Parks and Recreations, and so we started by partnering with them and then identified other Parks and Recreations that we would like to work with. So in some instances, we met with the director of Parks and Recreations to get their buy-in and support, and usually get their support. And after we gained their support, we started planning the routes, and we sought their feedback before we finalized any details, which was really important in our communication with them, that we never made any decisions without their approval. We work closely with them to identify signage ordinances that can affect where we post the signs. The Parks and Recs also help with the promotion of Passport to Parks through their activity guides and social media. We participate in their community events when appropriate to promote Passport to Parks. And what we found was this really actually helped to attract more to participation, especially if there's an arrangement for a biking and walking tour. In one case, one of our cities had a Bike the City event, and we partnered with a biking coalition. Fortunately for us, they agreed to take their workshop groups on bike tours using the clues that we had posted. Another city had hosted a similar event but didn't include a walking or biking tour, and what we found was the tour ensured that the participants were led back to our table and completed our evaluations. And this activity also helps to attract residents to our website, where we list resources and free and low-cost physical activities that they can participate in their local cities. So what the evaluation showed was, which is a survey, that the evaluation can be picked up or by scanning a QR code, which links to an electronic survey on the final sign of each route. So their survey asked respondents questions about the destinations they reached during each route to ensure actual participation, which is the quality control piece. And then it also includes questions about their satisfaction with the route, the reasons for participating, their demographic information, and physical activity information. We used prizes to incentivize participation. So we are about halfway through. This has been 6 months, and we have 6 more months left. So far, 56 people have participated in this. So what the results have shown was that half of the people prefer walking, jog, or not prefer, but they actually walk, jog, or ran, and then almost the other half biked, and then 5% used other methods of active transportation. 75% of them were satisfied or very satisfied with their route they used. So the reasons for participating, most people said they wanted to get out and move, and then it was followed by an interest in prizes. Then there was a whole list of other reasons from, it was a fun summer outing with kids, I love scavenger hunts, I just wanted to get myself educated, and then of course the obligatory, my mom made me. And how they heard about Passport to Parks. This is actually really helpful for us to know how we can promote future activities and also for Parks and Recreation to know what they should focus their attention on when it comes to promoting activities. Their activity guide was actually quite a popular method. And then there was the county website, the word of mouth, community bulletin board, and other reasons included the library, which was actually pretty common method. And then the rec center had a flyer. And some people simply were just walking along and saw the sign on the trail. So then we asked, what did they like about Passport to Parks? And they said it was fun, they liked riding their bike to a specific destination, they loved the feel, the scavenger hunt, the atmosphere, and the clues were made it fun for kids. And then we also asked them, well, what can be improved? So of course, people had to ask for more complexity in terms of difficulty of the clues, they wanted longer courses, they wanted it to be harder, they wanted the display cases to be cleaned, and they wanted more parks, they wanted more cities. So while we love collaboration, and the reason why we love collaboration is that it can really help with savings in programmatic and healthcare costs, increased attention to parks and recreation, utilization of underused public spaces, and enhancement of social connectedness. So instead of duplicating efforts such as active assets in parks and recreation deciding to do their own courses, we decided to combine our resources and our staff time, which really helps to save both of us money in the long run. And we are actually considering more collaborations that will actually result in maybe referring some of our obese clients to their programs in an effort to help address their chronic conditions. So similar to what Fitness by Design was about. And then the results from the surveys will actually help us to inform the type of physical activity opportunities that residents are interested in and type of people that we're attracting. We are also looking for opportunities for policy development, environmental changes, and also healthcare systems change that would encourage residents to walk and bike more in their daily settings. The potential savings in healthcare costs would be tremendous if and when the clients are physically active and are able to prevent or manage their obesity, diabetes, and other chronic diseases. Subsequently, parks and recreation, they gain more attention and users through these types of activities, thereby earning more profits and attracting more users at their underused parks. And meanwhile, the residents who utilize these types of activities become more connected with their families or communities, as Passport to Parks has demonstrated through the survey responses. And though we love collaboration, there are some barriers, especially the financial, systemic, and environmental ones. So due to the recent economic recession, Parks and Recreation actually had to downsize their workforce while trying to retain their existing programs, which made new programs unattractive to overworked staff. And so ultimately, they had to choose between prioritizing their current programs versus new collaborative opportunities. And subsequently, we didn't have the finances and staffing capacity to be able to accommodate a lot of these survey respondents' requests. So we had to work with existing city infrastructures as well, which, as some of you may know, they may not always be bikeable or walkable. And then we're also not addressing access to parks, especially in low-income communities, because we really require cities planning and parks departments to make political decisions to improve their built environment. But I am optimistic that our economy is now starting to recover, that parks and recreation will begin rebuilding their capacity and considering the scope of their staff's work. So while doing so, there will be more incentives for parks and recreation to collaborate with the local health department, such as thinking about reimbursements for obesity treatments, which is something that we are considering. There's strong support from one of our county supervisors to promote healthier and more physically active communities and environments. As such, we have collaboratives like Active Access, and we have local groups that are addressing the issue of physical inactivity. So eventually, my hope is that everyone will see the need for policies, programs, and systems that improve accessibility and affordability of physical activity to those who need them, which is everyone. Thank you.
Now we have time for questions. I think it was quite an innovative panel when you looked at some of the assessments that we need to do in PSE to really see what kind of impact. Be curious to see how you really look at the value of the impact and what you didn't get a lot of chance to talk about, but certainly looking at that. And then also, I really found that we need to find out what solutions you're looking at, what are the policy solutions to all the conglomerations that are going on. It was quite fascinating on that. And then on the two studies, all three local studies, I think they were quite good. And I have some questions, but let me go to the audience first and see if anybody has anybody. Any questions for anybody here? Go ahead. Let me repeat the question so people can hear it. Just really question was whether you're looking at collective impact as a part of the overall evaluation or looking at the individuals.
Yeah,